Welcome to Mastering the Shift, Living Your Noetic Reality. I am your host, Rebecca Skeel, and this show supports awake, conscious, and compassionate new paradigms. You carry compassion and are the integral part of co-creating the new. Welcome, and thank you for joining in. I'm continuing a theme today in my series of covering paradigm shifts that I believe are very important right now to support us personally in this time of major deconstruction and transformation. And these shifts, I believe, are essential to claiming our birthright as a co-creator, of living a more fulfilling life, and co-creating a compassionate world. So welcome to Spirit's Mystery School. And today we will explore fear and discover how fear is a messenger of personal power. You know, in Spirit's Mystery School, we take concepts and experiences and beliefs that up until now we have believed about them a certain way or subscribed to them or said, well, that's just the way it is. And in Spirit's Mystery School, we shift them. Yeah. In other words, we take them and we shift our whole experience and perception of them. For in Spirit, we approach these human experiences directly in truth. In other words, we're not so much looking at our perceptions or what we sometimes think are the facts about our reality, but we're going beyond that into the truth beyond the facts. That's a very interesting statement, isn't it? The truth beyond the facts. So today, along with exploring fear, I'm going to introduce you to a part of yourself that might have a hard time with shifting fear. Yeah, it's called the basic self. Or sometimes it's called the body brain or the basic nature or sometimes even the body soul. And it hangs out right around your belly button area on your body, right in your gut. And we often refer to the basic self in terms of gut reactions or, well, my gut says. And you may notice that your gut speaks to you, especially when we're looking at fear in our lives. It definitely speaks to us. So earlier I mentioned about truth. Now, whose truth are we talking about? The basic self's truth? Well, fear to the basic self elicits a response of protection. It's commonly called fight or flight. And this is the basic self's experience, and it's conditioned in this reaction. And it, one of its main agenda is to survive, to stay safe, and to maintain the status quo no matter what. And the status quo a lot of times has to do with what keeps me safe and what keeps me secure. So anything that is perceived as a threat to our survival, our safety, the basic self sends a signal of distress, alert, high alert, or get the heck out of here. So talking about fear and looking at fear or working with fear to shift it is not high on the basic self's fun things to do. Let's add to that the popular societal avoidance of fear, even a stigma in our society, if you will, to admit that we are afraid. This fear is culturalized out of our human experience, unless, of course, we are dealing with a disaster or a physical threat of some kind. Or maybe we watch the nightly news or read any news publication and buy into the messages of fear that are delivered daily. In other words, we have appropriate fears that may sound like this. I'm really afraid about the economy. Or, you know, I'm afraid of what will happen in our country if. Or, that political person scares me when they say. Yes, these are all acceptable expressions of fear in our society. But what we're going to work with today is what I call the unacceptable fears. These are more of the hidden fears inside ourselves, and a lot of times we don't even know they're there, or the underlying fears. What are they? Well, they're like fear of failure, or fear of looking like a fool, or fear of making a mistake, of being vulnerable, or abandoned, or rejected. Fear of not fitting in, or belonging, not being loved or lovable. Fear of loss, fear of losing control or being out of control. Fear of being seen or being wrong, and fear of feeling bad or being perceived by others as bad, etc. Now that's my list that I came up with, but you may have another one that popped in as I was reading that list. Yeah, these are what we call unacceptable fears. Now, why are they unacceptable? I would like to suggest that every human reaction against ourself or another is based in fear. And until we are able to bring these fears conscious, speak them and name them, and work to shift them, our basic nature or basic self does not change its self-view or worldview. So shifting fear is essential. Well, let's just take peace, for example. World peace. Peace is one of those ideals, those experiences that many, many people right now would really love to see on the planet. But until we can experience and shift peace inside ourselves, when we are upset, or we're unpeaceful or against inside ourselves, we will not know how to shift our world from againstness to peace. We must do the work to embody the new vibrations, the new frequencies of peace. We must know in our bones, our blood, our nervous system, and our body brain how to respond to a fear-based belief or a perceived threat or a situation or a judgment from ourselves or anyone else from peace. Well, can this be done? You might be thinking. Yes, it can be. But it takes courage and strength and willingness to create a different experience inside and outside when fear is present. And we're getting lots of practice these days, aren't we? So, the timing's perfect to begin approaching and working with fear. So, let's begin our experiential part of today's show. And I've named the show The Empowering Message of Fear. I would like you to take a moment and think of a fear that you have. Now, if you're somewhere where you have can get a pencil and piece of paper, that might be good to just write it down. But if you're not, just like for you to think about a fear. Take a moment, scan your life, and I'll give you the different areas to look at. In your personal relationships, is there a fear that continues to come forward? Or maybe it shows up in your financial life, or maybe around your health, or maybe your creativity or your career or how you want to be and express yourself in the world. In other words, how does fear limit you? How do you hold yourself back? Where do you feel stuck? And what is the underlying fear? I would like to suggest that fear is underneath all that. So that's question number one. Question number two is, how do you mask it? Yeah, we mask our fear because we want to save face. We want to appear in control or have it all together. You know, when I said earlier that we are in the societal, we have unacceptable fears. Because they're unacceptable, we mask them. So fear is often seen as a sign of weakness, isn't it? So we want to avoid that embarrassment. We cover it up. Anger is a common mask of fear. We get angry instead of saying, I'm afraid. And we also avoid our fear by staying busy, compulsive, behaviors and addictions. So all of these could be masking. So you might want to take a look at this underlying fear that I'm getting in touch with. How do I mask it? I'd like to say that we are masterful at masking our fear for ourselves. Even though taking a look at our behavior is not comfortable, the rewards of doing this are great. Welcome back to Mastering the Shift, Living Your Noetic Reality. And I am your host, Rebecca Skeel. We are in Spirit's Mystery School today, working with fear and moving to self-empowerment. So before the break, I said I would tell you a story about my life, about unmasking fear. And this is actually a story that I put in my book, You Can Make It Heaven, How to Enrich Your Life with Abundance and Loving. And it's in Chapter 9, The Masks of Fear. And it goes like this. A few years ago, I went backpacking with some friends. And we were in the high country, and they decided to hike to a particular peak. So I decided to go along as far as I wanted to or could to the top of the peak. Now, what you need to know is that I have a fear of edges. So I was doing fine. I was climbing up the side of this mountain peak, and I made it up almost to the top until I spotted the rim and the edge. And that's when my legs turned to mush. And I collapsed right there on the trail. And I grabbed the nearby rock. Wasn't a very big rock, but I had to hold on to something. And I froze in a fetal position around this rock. And I wasn't moving. And so a friend obviously saw my distress and came over and had to literally pry me loose from this rock and assist me down the mountain, where I burst into tears, grateful to be safe at last. So, what happened then? Well, I was very embarrassed, and I began reprimanding myself inside myself. I was saying, this is so irrational. I was so fearless when I was a child, and now I'm terrified. What is this all about? When did I become such a wimp? Why couldn't I just enjoy the hike like everyone else? And for days, this anger continued inside myself. I was seething. I was berating myself. I thought I was so stupid and foolish to have a fear of edges. I was weak for letting this fear incapacitate me. I was incompetent for needing a friend to walk me down, back down to the bottom. I thought I was a first-class loser, and my mind continued proclaiming these judgments to me over and over and over with increased intensity. And the shame and blame that I felt from that incident kept me off trails and away from hiking in the mountain for many, many, many months. So that's an example of what happens often when we unmask fear. Notice how much self-judgment and shame and blame I heaped on myself because I was afraid. And also notice the story I made up and how I would be perceived by others. Unmasking fear can be like this. And perhaps you might be experiencing something similar right now as you allow yourself to get in touch with an underlying fear, and then you wrote down how you masked it. Yes, what I have discovered is that right next to our fear lies judgment or shame and blame. So one of the main reasons we feel so uncomfortable looking at fear is that we feel our judgment of ourselves, our condemnation, our shame and blame. So not only do we have to deal with this visceral reaction in our body, but then we have to look at the judgment. Yuck. But what is the cost of denial? Well, here's another story. This story is from a client of mine. Let's call him Mark. He came into my office with his life turned upside down by a sudden announcement from his wife that she wanted a divorce. He was visibly upset and devastated, close to tears by this announcement, and he seemed completely confused to how his marriage had gotten to this point. As we began to unravel the inner Mark, he allowed himself to look at the masks of avoidance that he had been using in his life for some time. He had avoided for several years expressing his feelings, his needs, and his wants, or just sharing himself for fear of how they might have been received. His life had become overrun with his career. He had thrown himself into his work to avoid those fears, and he had taken jobs out of town and commuted back and forth. And when he was at home, he was exhausted. So his wife had created a life for herself. And her fear of what was happening to their relationship, to their intimacy, got covered up by anger at him. So she began distancing herself from the relationship. They both knew it was happening, but neither wanted to confront it. They didn't know how, really, once it had crossed a line. So the mask of avoidance resulted in a large chasm in their relationship of hurt feelings, anger, resentment, unspoken needs and wants. And trying to build a bridge back to each other seemed daunting. The cost is high when we mask fear. But if and when we accept the courage and the support to unmask it, to feel the feelings, to accept that fear is present, and to observe all of the judgments, the shame and blame that is present, we are building that bridge from fear to self-empowerment. And there's more. This is the third radio show that I've done in Spirit's Mystery School. The last one was about self-mastery, the self-mastery dance. So I might want to suggest that if you have not listened to that archived show, you might want to do it in preparing for the experiential part of today's show and the process that I'm going to be bringing forward. It will make a whole lot more sense when I walk you through the process, because I do weave in some self-mastery skills, so you may want to listen to that other show. But for right now, we're going to shift gears right before the next break. So far, we've spent time talking about the gnarliness of fear. I don't even know if that's a word, but it certainly describes fear as I know it, when we're taking a look and we're unmasking this fear. And how that fear not only elicits a response of protection or fight or flight or avoidance, it also is accompanied by judgment or shame and blame. Okay, so here's the shift. What if fear is a messenger? And what if that message is hidden behind all of that visceral physical responses, the perceived judgments and the pain and the shame and the blame? What if the message is not danger, you are on the wrong track, but you are on the right track? In other words, fear keeps us stuck in a limited point of view about who we are, and blind to other possibilities and other ways of being. What if fear keeps us small and our perception and therefore our experience is that we are powerless and fear is more powerful? Well, I'd like to end this section by just reading you a quote. It's one of my favorite quotes about how fear is a messenger, and it goes like this. Most of us consider fear to be an enemy. How can it be your friend? Because it is going to reveal its great power, the knowledge that it is merely a veil which conceals the divine from us. We have kept ourselves from seeing and knowing the power because it comes disguised as fear. If someone came up to you and said, "I'm going to reveal to you the great power of the universe," would you look at them as an enemy? Now that's a quote from Spiritual Warrior, The Art of Spiritual Living by John Roger. It's quite a quote. So I'm going to stop there and take a break. And when I come back, we're going to go into the experiential process. So during this break, you might want to avail yourself of a pen or pencil and a piece of paper if that is close by and something that you can do. So this is Mastering the Shift, Living Your Noetic Reality. I'm your host, Rebecca Skeel, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Mastering the Shift, Living Your Noetic Reality. I'm your host, Rebecca Skeel, and we are looking at fear and moving from fear to personal power. So before I begin this process, this is the third radio show in which I've done a process online, and I've gotten some feedback from folks that it's sometimes hard to do the process and listen to me at the same time. So I'm going to suggest that you write the steps down to the process and just kind of follow along with me, and then do the process after the radio show is complete or at another time that's convenient for you. And also, I want you to know that I am going to write down the steps of this process on my blog. You can find my blog at www.makeitheaven.com. Makeitheaven.com. Just go to my homepage and click blog. And the name of the blog will be the same name as my radio show, The Empowering Message of Fear. So if for some reason you just want to listen and not write down anything, you're welcome to go to my blog, and there will be the outline for this process. So here we go. Number one, choose a fear. Number two, ask yourself, how do I mask this fear in my life? So we've pretty well covered step one and step two so far, haven't we? Okay, let's go to step three. Now that you have a fear and the way you mask it, you're going to ask yourself, how do I judge myself about this fear? How do I shame or blame myself? How do I judge how I mask it? So take a moment and list your judgments and also any beliefs you have about this fear. Here's an example of a belief. I believe having this fear makes me a weak person. That's an example. Or I believe feeling fear or looking at fear is a waste of time. Anything that's present for you around the fear that you're working with or how you mask it, I would like you to write those down. Step four. Our next step is a self-mastery tool, and the self-mastery tool is self-acceptance. If you remember from the show I did about self-mastery, when we accept anything that we're feeling or thinking or believing, we actually remove the judgment of it. We simply acknowledge what is. Now, this is a really important step. We must begin to accept what is present, just what is. And I suggest you do this step by writing down acceptance statements. It really helps when we begin to work in self-mastery that we engage not only the mind and the heart, but also we write things down. It really helps ground it into the basic self. So an example could be, I accept that I'm afraid of losing control, if that would be the fear that would be present for you. Or, in my case, I accept that I judge myself as stupid because I have a fear of edges. I accept that I believe losing control means I'm a loser or a failure. And I accept I feel embarrassed talking about this. So notice I just really allowed myself to look at this whole area and begin to bring forward acceptance about everything I was feeling, thinking, or perceiving, or experiencing. Step five. Step five is comforting yourself with compassion. Now, again, this is another self-mastery skill. And if you remember in the self-mastery segment, I said that we don't know how to comfort ourselves usually. This is a foreign concept. So if I could, let me give you an example of what I mean by comforting myself. And this can be done in a number of ways. If you were to listen to a small child sharing with you a nightmare in the middle of the night, how would you listen to that child? You know, my guess is you would be really present. You would be comforting that child. You would be reassuring them. You would be telling them everything is okay. and really assisting them to go back to sleep. You might even go into the closet and turn on the light, or turn on the light in their bedroom and look underneath the bed and see, you know, there's no boogeyman there. In other words, you would be bringing forth your compassion. So step five is allowing yourself to open your heart to yourself and comfort yourself. Actually say things to yourself like, it's okay, I'm here, I really get that you're afraid. I know you don't like feeling this fear. You know, this is a skill. And as we begin to bring this compassion to ourselves, the first thing we want to do when we're afraid is comfort ourselves. Step six is then we move into self-forgiveness. And again, self-forgiveness is a self-mastery skill. And what are we forgiving? Remember, we're forgiving ourselves. We're forgiving ourselves for judging ourselves. Remember all those harsh words that I was saying to myself after I got down the mountain? I could think again and I could do something other than shake. Yeah, I berated myself. I was really, really mean to myself. So I want to forgive myself those judgments, those limiting beliefs, that shame and that blame. And again, I'm going to suggest you write these down so you can repeat them to yourself. Repeat them over and over, because again, self-forgiveness to many of us is a brand new concept. And so self-forgiveness might sound like this. I forgive myself for judging myself for. So in my case, I forgive myself for judging myself for freezing on top of the mountain. I forgive myself for believing that that incident of freezing meant that I was a wimp and that I was a scaredy cat. I forgive myself for judging my fear as stupid and wrong, and then me as stupid and wrong. So notice I allowed myself to bring forward my self-forgiveness about anything that I was judging and anything that I was believing. And then in between forgiveness statements, I take in a nice deep breath and I let it go. So the way that I do self-forgiveness is I say the statement, I forgive myself, and then after that statement, I take in a nice deep breath and I let it go. And a lot of times, I'll close my eyes and I'll just be with myself. So these are the first two keys of working with fear, to move beyond it, to move beyond that grip that fear has on us, comforting ourselves and using self-forgiveness on the judgments and the shame and blame. This is a practice, and if repeated, you begin to move the energy. Or another way of describing it is the basic self learns to relax. It lets go of its need to protect, to shut down, to hide. And I often feel that release viscerally in my body. It's like I begin to feel warm in my belly where I may up until then felt cold or even painful. And sometimes that warmth goes down my legs, or sometimes it's all over my body. Yeah, we begin to track our experience inside ourselves when the basic self starts to relax, which it begins to do in step six. So you want to track your experience during this process. You want to say, not only what are you thinking and feeling, but what is the body sensations that are happening? Okay, so we've had six steps up until now. Now we're going to shift into taking a whole nother look at fear. So what I'd like you to do at the beginning of step seven is take in a nice deep breath and let it go. You are now going to ask your soul or your higher self or whatever you call it to come forward. Again, this can be done in a number of ways. One way is simply to set the intention that I'm calling my soul or my higher self forward. Try it. Yes. Simple intention. Or another way to do this is to send your consciousness or your awareness up above your head, out the top of your head, about 4, 5, 6 inches, something like that, and imagine that you are looking at fear through these eyes. Yeah, you can just do that now. That sensation might feel a little funny or weird. So if you feel like that feels a little too weird for you at this time, just ask yourself to begin to look at fear with divine eyes. And as you do that, ask yourself, what personal power lies beyond the fear? If this fear is a message standing at a gate beyond which lies a personal power, your personal power, that power may be up until now not claimed for you, or you may not have allowed yourself to acknowledge that power because of the fear, but because you've accepted your fear and comforted yourself and forgiven yourself, you've stood up to that fear. And so now you get to pass. You have been given permission to pass beyond the fear into this new place of power. So what is it? How do you experience it? Is this personal power inner strength, courage, self-loving, peace, expansion, groundedness? And then step 8, you get to ask yourself, how would my life be different if I chose this personal power to come present every time I experienced this fear? Or put another way, this is truth, this truth of you, this personal power. How would your life be different if you chose the truth of personal power rather than the illusion of fear? So, what did I learn from my story about facing my fear of climbing and edges? What was my personal power? My personal power was strength in my vulnerability. So now, each time I face a fear, I remember that experience of being on that mountain, and I remember, oh yes, my personal power is strength. It's strength in the vulnerability of myself. And my client discovered, remember my client Mark, he discovered that his personal power was honesty. So now when he feels fear, he remembers, oh yeah, be honest. Be honest with yourself about what you're feeling, your thoughts, your needs, your wants. And when he does this now, he calms down. He feels self-assured. So when his fear comes back, or the old mask of avoidance comes back, he remembers to be honest. The basic self then learns new reference points for safety and security. Fear then does not elicit a knee-jerk response of danger, but of new power. And now there's a shift from fear to power. Wow. And as this basic self trusts this, a new place of personal power is replaced with the frequency, replaces the frequency of fear in the body. And you move from judging your humanity to blessing your humanity, to having compassion for your humanity, and you learn to make a masterful choice. Okay, so we're going to take a break here. You are listening to Mastering the Shift, and we'll see you after the break. Welcome back. I'm Rebecca Skeel, and our program today has been In Spirit's Mystery School, which means that things are not the way we imagined or believed. And if you've written down the process of moving from the empowering message of fear, if you've written this process down, all the steps that we went through, I would now like to invite you to do this process, however many times it takes until you feel a shift. If you're tired of fear running your life, if you are tired of feeling imprisoned or held back or oppressed or constantly seeing yourself as a victim to circumstances, if you would like to begin to experience more expansion, more joy, more peace, if you'd like to walk through your day knowing that inner place of empowerment inside yourself instead of being blown around by whatever is happening in the world, I hope you will consider doing this process and doing it often. And then I hope you will also let me know what you experience, if you'd like. because I'd like to invite you always to send me any comments, questions, or experiences to my email address, which is Rebecca@makeitheaven.com. And as I mentioned before, I will write down the steps of this process in my blog at www.makeitheaven.com. And the blog will be called The Empowering Message of Fear. And then if you want to, you can listen back to the radio show and how I bring this process forward, because obviously in the blog I won't be going into as much detail as I did here. You know, there is so much at stake these days, in my opinion, that we cannot allow fear to scare us away from these changes, these shifts, and these new beginnings that our time calls for. And what if shifting fear is one of the major paradigm shifts? I believe it is. And how to know how to do this and to access that power that lies beyond the fear is what will empower each one of us, give each one of us the ability to step into the powerful being that we are.